Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And if you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, this may be found on 58 of the New Testament. Hear now these words. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to tear the word of God, he saw the two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down these nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, William. Well, after hearing that scripture, if you're anything like me and you have a soft place in your heart for fishing, then this story of fishing and disciples must surely speak to you on some level or another. When you think about this passage from the Gospel of Luke, you realize that on the surface it is about fishing, but it is also and more deeply about discipleship and the missionary activity of bringing other people into a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. It is about each of us individually and about all of us collectively. It is about you, Christian, and all of us Christians who are the body of Christ. When Jesus was walking on this earth and beginning his public ministry, he personally called disciples into service. And originally, as you know, it was those 12 men whom we know as the apostles. Those two terms, disciple and apostle, are often used interchangeably. And both of them mean one sent out on a mission to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God. Now, a little more specifically, disciple comes from the Latin word meaning pupil or student. You notice that I tend to use the word disciple more often because I believe that each of us is at one stage or another of being a pupil or a student of Jesus Christ. Each of us is in the process of learning about Jesus. But I would also like to believe that each of us is moving and growing more toward becoming an apostle, one sent out by Christ on a mission to preach the gospel and share God's kingdom. But in any event, whether you consider yourself a disciple or an apostle or a churchgoer or maybe even a skeptical believer, it seems to me that Luke's passage here invites us, maybe even pushes us, into thinking about our response to God's call on our lives.
Maybe at some level, each of us can identify with Simon Peter. Maybe we have felt that personal call from Jesus. Simon Peter was a fisherman, as were many of those first apostles. Scripture tells us that very recently, if you go back a few chapters, Jesus had gone to the house of Simon Peter and had healed his mother-in-law of a high fever. Now, that scripture doesn't tell us whether or not Simon was at home when Jesus came to his house, but surely by this time, Simon had heard about this sign those few days later when Jesus came down to the lake at Gennesaret to preach. When Jesus needed to step into a boat in order to be heard and to be seen by the crowds who had lined the lake shore, it probably was no coincidence that he chose Simon's boat. Now, I recognize that each of us is a unique individual, but I wonder how we might compare ourselves to Simon when it comes to responding to the call that Jesus makes upon our lives. Simon Peter's response is probably a model of discipleship. His obedience to every one of Jesus' requests, his declaration of his own sinfulness, and his self-conscious plea that Jesus should leave him, and finally, his absolute and immediate commitment to follow Jesus, both literally and figuratively. Simon Peter dropped everything. He dropped his nets, his boat, his home, his livelihood, even his family he left at that very moment and followed Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. How would you have responded if you had been in Simon Peter's position? How have you responded when you have heard God's call on your life? Well, the rest of this story that William read offers us some vivid images of fishermen engaged in fishing and some wonderful metaphors of what it is that we are called to do as a faith community of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. And as you think about this biblical story of fishing, I'd like to offer you another personal story of fishing. For 10 years, when I was a small boy growing up in central Ohio, my family would spend most of every summer in a place called Chatham, Massachusetts, at the elbow of Cape Cod. And it was there in the salty waters off Cape Cod that I got my first taste of fishing. My dad always piloted a Boston Whaler. If you know that boat, it's a handsome boat, but my dad's Boston Whaler was always named the Teabag. And we would go out in that boat to several different spots along Cape Cod to go fishing. Well, mostly it was just me and my dad, but sometimes one or both of my sisters would come along as well. To say that we were not the most sophisticated fishermen is probably the understatement of the year. Every time we were planning to go fishing, we'd go off to the bait store and we'd buy a box of sea worms. We had simple poles with fairly basic reels, and we'd use a big old sinker and a hook, and we'd put on a big juicy sea worm, and we would fish. With me and my dad, the verb to fish was not at all an active verb. We would drop our lines over the side of the boat as far as Dad said was about enough, and then we would sit. We'd watch the occasional boat go by, and we'd listen as the gulls and terns flew overhead, and we'd talk. But there certainly was not much action when we went fishing. A fishing trip for the Morris men would generally end when one of three things happened: when we got bored, when we ran out of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or when one of us would catch a fish. Landing a fish was a pretty big deal for us. It didn't happen very often, but when it did, it was the source of much excitement and celebration and picture-taking with that little brownie camera. And we weren't at all particular about what kind of fish we'd catch. Sometimes we'd catch an eel. Sometimes we'd catch a sea robin, which is a whole lot of excitement. Sometimes we'd catch a dogfish, which is a small shark. And sometimes when we were really lucky, we would catch a striped bass. Now that was a extra special fishing trophy for Bill Morris and his red-haired boy. Those were wonderful times on Cape Cod with me and my dad. But you know, it wasn't till much later in my life that I found out that there are different kinds of fishing beyond our rudimentary attempts. Fishing where you use artificial lures, and fishing where you select a specific kind of bait or lure in order to catch a certain kind of fish. And there is even a kind of fishing, fly fishing in streams and rivers, where you see the fish that you're trying to catch before you catch it. Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles. And just this year, after we moved to Colorado, Ken Burvey has been explaining to me some of the subtleties of ice fishing, where you use sonar devices to see beneath the surface of the ice, and where you place your carefully selected bait or lure at just the right depth in order to lure in that fish that you're watching on your little electronic screen. Truly amazing, and they call this activity fishing. That's a long way from what my dad and I did in 1965 on Cape Cod. But I couldn't help but think of this story when I was considering this scripture passage this past week. And as I consider my role as your pastor, I'm very much reminded of what Jesus said to Simon, because it is also what I say to each of you. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. For this church and for so many others throughout this country, we are often concerned about bringing in new members to this church. It's part of the stated purpose of the United Methodist Church to make new disciples of Jesus Christ, and we take that ministry seriously here. Part of it is a numbers game, a hope to increase the number of people sitting in the pews next to each other every Sunday, a wish to increase the membership rolls to make it harder for Ellen to keep track, or a desire to have more people offering more money to pay the bills and to fund exciting mission projects. There's nothing wrong with that goal, but it's not all that we are trying to do. We're also working together to bring each other into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. We're working from without and from within to make new and better disciples. But I wonder sometimes about our fishing methods. When Jesus was teaching that huge crowd of people from the boat, there was a direct parallel to the fishermen throwing out their net. They were all trying to capture as many fish as they could, somewhat indiscriminately. It reminds me of my dad and I trying to catch whatever would bite on our sea worms. Sometimes as church, we keep trying the same thing over and over, always using the same bait in order to bring in more people. We figure that we've had success in the past, so why change what we do? Why change who we are? Even if we've had only limited success in the past, a fish is a fish, right? And every fish counts. But that also gets me thinking about those methods of fishing where you consider what you're after, where you think about the fishing conditions and the bait and the kind of fish you'd like to catch. It kind of reminds me of fly fishing, where you actually see the fish that you'd like to catch before you present your fly. It reminds me of ice fishing, where you use some extra tools in order to increase your chances of catching a fish. And it is so easy to take this silly fishing metaphor too far. For surely we are not trying to catch fish in order to feed ourselves, but rather we are trying to offer the incredible good news of Jesus Christ. And the bold claim that we are part of the inbreaking of God's kingdom here and now. God's love is deeper and wider than all of the oceans on this earth. And the examples of God's grace in our daily lives are far more numerous than all of the fish in all of the seas. And that is what we're trying to share with all of God's people. As children of God, we need to work harder and smarter and more creatively at sharing God's love and God's promise of eternal life. We need to open our collective tackle box and consider new and wonderful ways of making disciples of Jesus Christ. And we need to start fishing together more often. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. By God's grace and the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, may it truly be so, and I'll bring the sea worms. Amen.